Okay, so tell me why, when you started talking about what's going on at Buffalo Public Schools, why did you get choked up?
It kind of hit home. I had thought about what I was going to be saying, several days in advance, and I'd gone over it in my head, and it was literally keeping me up at night. But I thought that I was prepared to kind of go through the story. But I guess saying it in the moment, around my friends in that space, with that, support system and that the trust that I have with them, it just felt real. And I've had a lot of parents call me up and get choked up over the phone, while, saying thank you for what you're doing. We have kids and we felt this way about it. And I guess it's just one of those very human moments that we all kind of have, especially when it comes to, kids who, can't protect or defend themselves.
Why did you decide to talk about this now? I know this has been going on for a long time. Why did you decide to talk about it now?
Because I didn't see any changes. And in not seeing anything change for the past 2 years that I've been in, I realized, well, if this was a problem the moment I got there. So obviously there was time before me, before 2 years ago when I became a special victims unit detective, where this was an issue. And, 2 years for the same problems to happen over and over and over again. I just didn't want to wait anymore.
Why do you think nothing is being done? Why do you think it gets to a certain point and then disappears?
I think it's a mix of a couple things. I think that one, teachers, counselors, principals are afraid of putting police reports through because it could open up the city, or not the city, but the Buffalo Public Schools for maybe a suit by parents, or it could open up an investigation by the police, which would be, an unwanted investigation into the school. Nobody wants to be the location where something bad happens. I think that's one thing. The other thing is the legal representatives for the school, for some reason, are maybe they're anti-police. I'm not sure, but they have a strong disdain for law enforcement, whether it be police or the district attorney's office. So much so that several months ago, when the district attorney's office and Buffalo police detectives from the Special Victims Unit went to the different schools in the Buffalo school program to give all of their teachers, counselors, principals, and legal representatives classes on how to be a mandated reporter, there were pushback from dozens and dozens of people in each school at each venue that they were giving these classes back.
Pushback from who exactly?
Everybody. When I say I'm like, there were teachers, there were counselors, there were principals, and there were legal representatives there that were pushing back against the information that the district attorney's office and the Buffalo Police Departments were passing on to them about being a mandated reporter. And I say being a mandated reporter is a New York State statute. That is something they have to do via New York State. That is not a Buffalo Police Department thing. That is not an Erie County Sheriff's thing. That's not a district attorney's thing. New York State has written these specific laws about how to be a mandated reporter and what you have to report. And there was pushback to the district attorney that was giving that class, the assistant district attorney giving those classes, and the Buffalo police detective.
What was the pushback? What did the pushback say? Like,
I
what's your excuse?
wasn't there, so I don't want to put words in somebody's mouths. All I can say is from talking with some of these people is that they were asking questions and making statements as in they didn't feel comfortable ruining little Jimmy's life because he was a good student by creating a sexual assault police report against him, which I understand that these people have a good relationship with their students. However, they are not worried about the victim at all. They're worried about little Jimmy's football career instead of the girl that he may have sexually assaulted. And they were saying things to the effect of, I'm not really sure what they were saying, things to the effect of, I don't want to misquote anybody or say something that wasn't said, so I'll cut that there.
Okay. There, how many cases do you think go unreported? year
Well,
by
that's
year.
God. Well, over 100. There would be. There's got to be over 100. I mean,
You
I'm
for
aware
this
of.
year, or for do you think like how many per week? I mean, is this how long is
And see,
this?
that's. I don't know. That would be. I'm not sure how many things go unreported, a week, but I can tell you that, over the course of, let's say like half a year, each person in the special victims unit, and there's about a dozen detectives, will have numerous cases involved with the school that we know about that are reported, as in a sexual assault or an assault between students, or the student comes in and, talks to a counselor and says, "Hey, this happened to me somewhere. I need your help." And then they report it, but it begins at the school as a law enforcement referral. I can tell you that we get pushback from schools where they refuse to return our phone calls, where they refuse to give us victim or suspect information, where they refuse to give us victim, their parents' information or any contact information, so we can just call somebody and begin the process of counseling and utilizing the Family Justice Center for both victim and suspect. Because some of these cases, even though the school will try to kill them, will literally be a misunderstanding between students and can be consensual. Our job is just to investigate it, but it's hard to investigate it and say, "Oh, nothing illegal happened here. This is what actually happened. Thank you for reporting it," when we don't get any assistance from the schools. Now, when it comes to unreported, I can tell you that we have caught cases where they intentionally mislabel them. So if you search cases via rape or assault, you can view them that way. However, they will have them come up as information only. So a lot of times people make a police report, "Hey, my neighbor throws dog poop in my backyard. I just want this report done for information to show and catalog the issues that I have with my neighbor," right? It's not really a, it's not an assault, it's not a rape, there's no real headline, it's just an information only thing. How difficult is it for you to then search and see if a sexual assault had occurred when instead of labeling it a sexual assault, they label it as information only?
And they know that they shouldn't be labeling it that to help you?
Absolutely,
Oh my
100%.
gosh.
It isn't, that is one of the ways that they intentionally will bury investigations so that we don't see them. And there are several times where myself, other detectives have had to look at the addresses to see of the schools to see if they've intentionally misreported something and then see what the information only is about. I currently have a case that's information only, and it's the sexual assault of a child from potentially two other children. And
Now,
I had to find that. Like, I didn't get that put on my desk. I had to find that because it was marked as information only.
the SROs are they're not Buffalo Police. They're a
School
separate.
resource officers are Buffalo Police. There is
So are they
a separate.
holding with are they withholding information as well?
I don't think that they are. My look into this whole thing has been my relationship and, well, the lack of a relationship with the Buffalo Public Schools.
Okay. So are you worried now about your own job? I mean, this is putting your job in jeopardy. You're out in the public. Are you worried about that? And are you worried about legal issues if anybody can bring them up against you?
If they want to, I mean, the only thing that legally, let's say legally issues, if they wanted to, I don't know, bring up some sort of legal issue with me, I'm not worried about that. They've already put out a statement that says that they're addressing these untruths, quote unquote untruths. Well, that's not a word, and they're definitely not going to put lies, because if they say that I'm a liar, well, they can get repercussions for that, because what I'm stating in these specific cases that I'm stating are well documented investigations by the Buffalo Police Department and by the District Attorney's Office. So we have cataloged evidence. I have audio evidence talking with people, recorded conversations about how things have been mishandled intentionally by the Buffalo Public Schools. The Assistant District Attorney's Office has those unanswered subpoenas. Those are facts. Those are legitimate pieces of paper signed by a judge, subpoenas from the district attorney's office that are not answered by
there's recourse for that. How come they haven't gone as far as, you know, arrests or charges or things like that for subpoenas? We have to respond to subpoenas.
Absolutely, we do. I'm not sure why there has been no response. I'm sure that it's, you know, the world is a difficult place to work with and you don't want to make enemies. And I know that, you know, arresting every individual for not being a mandated reporter, you know, can make barriers when it comes to relationships between the schools and the district attorney's office. And you want to have a positive relationship, not a negative one. But it's come to the point where 100% arrests need to occur because they've become so emboldened to not work with us and literally just sidestep the legal process.
Can you tell me about the worst case that you came across that was buried?
The worst one that I, there are still some ongoing cases and I can't really bring them up. One of them is currently at the detector, the district attorney's office, where it is the school where, and I brought it up on the podcast, where a man was able to get into the school, attempt to abduct two children, and the school failed to report one of the children as a victim. So instead of two victims, the school reported one. And then it was because of the due diligence of a district attorney that the second victim was found, and then the second child, you know, had their family notified.
The first one you talked about on the podcast?
Yes, that is the first one that I talked about on the podcast.
And you said it was the most egregious?
That was the most egregious. There's another one that's 2 years old. I can talk about that one because it's, I think the case is closed, if I'm not mistaken. 2 years ago, a girl was sexually assaulted in a Buffalo public school by a pool. And the school had video of it, because there was video recorders on the outside of the school and in the hallways that would have assisted us in identifying the individual, the suspect, you know, and obviously putting him there. The school's principal, I'm not sure if that person is still employed or if they retired, the school's principal did a quote-unquote their own investigation. I don't know what that entails, considering they don't have any of the investigative skills that we do or the district attorney's office, but they did their own investigation and never reported it. And a year later, that young woman had told another individual, and that individual reported that sexual assault in the school and what had occurred. The district attorney's office sent a subpoena to that school's principal and the school requesting, you know, an interview. Hey, we need to talk to you about this. And the school's principal sent back a letter stating, I did my own investigation and found nothing. I'm not coming in to talk to you.
Wow.
There was also a letter that the school principal wrote, literally victim shaming the victim. She's not to believe, she's a liar. So this couldn't have happened.
And
that's 2 years old. So that's one that literally ended because there was not enough evidence to move forward because the video was gone after a year. Video is never saved for that long.
Right.
So the video was, you know, gone. That person, that mandated reporter principal, never reported it, and that poor girl's case now is dead.
That's incredible. I don't even know what to say about that. I would assume if other people hear about this in the school, her classmates, they're not going to want to come forward either if they're just told that they're liars.
That's one of the cases that I had as well, where I can, you know, personally say that, you know, an individual, where a girl went into, you know, school and got beaten twice and had it on video and went to a counselor on two different occasions. And only on the third, when she came into school black and blue, did the counselor then make a report. And that person should have been arrested.
So are you afraid for your job now? Are you afraid you're going to get suspended? I mean, is it just too big? And what do you think? I mean, I feel like you're in trouble but you're telling the truth.
Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that, like, I'm worried about being suspended and potentially fired, and all I'm doing is trying to correct and protect children because a system is intentionally letting them down and taking the side of the abuser and not the victim. How sad is that? I have friends that are well off and they've showed me their support. A lot of Buffalo police officers have called me and messaged me and said that if I get suspended, they're going to rally around me and make sure that I'm taken care of. And I appreciate that. But how sad and disheartening is it that me doing what I'm doing and shining light on an issue that is above the Buffalo Police Department, much bigger than the Buffalo Police Department. It's heartbreaking. And when you look at that, you can kind of understand how bad it's gotten. What cop wants to put their entire family at jeopardy and their livelihood in order to say something about the Buffalo Public Schools and potentially, you know, get fired or have, you know, a certain amount of, you know, unpaid days suspended. So you want to know why people aren't saying things? Well, that's why.
Do you think you're going to get suspended?
What's that?
Do you think you'll be suspended?
Oh man, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of how long. That's my opinion. Now there are good people in the Buffalo Police Department and you know, in those higher ranks in the administration, and maybe they'll see it for what it is and say, hey, Rich did a good thing. However, you went about it the incorrect way, and you know, maybe they'll give me a slap on the wrist. But I am expecting the Buffalo Public Schools to try to make an example out of me, so that they can keep this stranglehold over their workers, their teachers, counselors, principals, and show everybody that you shouldn't speak up against them and try to get me suspended or fired or use, you know, some sort of legal process as a weapon like we talked about earlier.
I'm going to stop recording now if that's okay.
Sure.